And may God help teach us, direct us. Okay. Yeah. All right, let me see if this works. Oh, don't seem it's working. Did I have the wrong thing, Boom? I'm not very technical, as you see. Without Boomer and Sherlock, I can't do this. All right, thank you. Okay, all right. This morning, I'd like to share with you the sufficiency of the scriptures. And today, I think that it is something that I'm very concerned, not only for our church, but for all America, is the fact that many Christians do go to church, and they do read the Bible, study the Bible, but they study it from an intellectual standpoint. They use their own idea to try to figure out things, and many times they see places where the Bible they don't understand. People would just either ignore it or interpret in their own way, and there are so many other interpretations, so there's never a conclusion. So in many Bible study, you thank God there are many Bible studies in campus and everywhere. But when they study, and then they discuss a lot about the Bible, everybody express their opinions, everybody talk, but there's never a conclusion. And because nobody know what is the real interpretation, nobody know where whether that passage really applies to life or not, and all kinds of difficulties. So as a result, people would go to psychological book, go to the New Age movement, and many other way to help them to solve the problems in life. And so the Bible become an introduction for discussions, but never an answer to life's problem. And that becomes a real great problem. And as you know, in China today, a lot of people become Christian, and yet there are many false teaching, a lot of heresies and cults. As they study the Bible, they come up with lots of different things. And so therefore, once again, they will pull other resources and then they would use other religion, other things to help them to interpret the Bible. So the Bible become just again something that is important but never really feel that it is sufficient for our lives. And so today I want to emphasize to you again that when you come to this Bible, you know that the Bible would have answer for your life. And it is God's revelation to you to help you, and you must read it every day and let God speak to you to change your life. Now, why is the Bible all sufficient? Why it can help you? It is simply because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the Word of God tell us this. And would you join me in reading these two verses, please? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly unto all good works. Now, all Scripture, that means the whole Bible, every verse, every word of the Bible is God-breathed or inspired. The original word for God-breathed in the Greek is meaning literally God breathed out, okay? And therefore, is useful for all these other areas, teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training. And so that, notice, the man of God may be fairly equipped. That word in the King James Version said that the man of God may be perfectly equipped. Now, this is very important. The Bible is perfect for you today. And because it is God breathed out. In other words, it is God himself speaking to you. As he spoke to the prophets, spoke to the Bible writers, about 40 of them throughout the history, and then these people, in their mind, were controlled by God, and God inspired them, and God breathed into them his own idea and his life-giving instruction, and so that it will be perfect for every person. So the Bible is not a human book alone. God used the vehicle of these authors, and God breathed. And when God breathed, you know, there's life, right? And you know, when God breathed, Adam become a living soul, right? So God's breath had power. And so that's why Bible is all sufficient. Jesus himself accepted it. You notice Jesus said, do not think that I've come to abolish law and prophet. I've come to abolish them. I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. Jesus did not come to change the Bible or give some new idea. He followed through all the prophetic prophecy. And he said, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter or the least stroke of a pen will be by any means disappear from the law. The law meaning the Bible, until everything is accomplished. Why the law is the Bible? Because the law was the beginning from Genesis, Moses' law. And when the Bible mentioned the law, from the beginning, it includes the whole scriptures. And God, Jesus said, not one tit or one dot. That means in the Hebrew words originally, and they have this writing tit and dot and dot and dang, and to give you pronunciation, he says those things cannot be taken out. That means everything is important in the Bible, and Jesus accepted it. And then notice how Jesus accepted. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to those disciples what was said in all scripture concerning himself. Because the Bible talk about Jesus from the old to the new. Jesus tell us it's important. And then notice John 10:35, a very important verse. And I hope you always remember this verse, because it says the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be what? Broken. What does that mean? Meaning that you cannot take a part of the Bible and say, that's God's word. And the other part say, no. You cannot say, I accept some part of the Bible, the other you don't. Now that is a major problem of the current seminaries today. Many Greek institutions that are not evangelical, when they study the Bible, they will say this: yes, Bible is important. Bible is authoritative, but Bible only contains God's word. That means you can find God's word in it, right? Yes, but there's some part which you don't understand. There's some part that's a miraculous, maybe not God's word. See, they say contain, but we must emphasize the Bible does not contain God's word. The Bible is the word of God. So please remember, all right, if you hear people say, Bible, yeah, I have some God's word. No, not good enough. Bible is God's word. Cannot be broken, the scripture. So this is why it is sufficient. All right? And then you go on to see back in Psalm 19 where we have read this morning from God's Word. There are six principles here that is being described, and these six things that describes God's Word, they all refer to the Word of God, and they are important for us, showing that the benefits of God's Word to your life is sufficient for life. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
Again, perfect. Can anything better than perfect? No, cannot. So God's Word is so complete and so good and so excellent and so important, that significant, that it was reviving the soul. Now, most of us today would have problems in life. We have to admit. Even though you become Christian sometime, you'll find that yourself may be up and down. Sometimes you're not following God's word. Sometimes you do your own thing and not listen to others or your parents, or you don't follow what the Bible teaches, and so you're down. But when you go back to God's word, keep on reading it every day, it will revive your soul. Right? I would have problems sometimes. I would have depression sometime. I would have things that would bother me sometime. But when I go back to God's Word and read it, amazingly, it changed my life, changed my mind, changed my depression, and revived the soul. Especially some of us today, when we have problems we don't even know. That's interesting. We think we are serving God very good. We think that we are able to handle everything. We think that we can tell people what to do, about what the right thing to do. And then to the point that, you know, actually, we are telling people something wrong. We are managing some other people's lives, which we're not supposed to. Only God can. And then these are the people that I believe are not reading God's Word. As you today, every day, you go in the Word of God and you let God's Word speak to you, your life will change. Your soul will revive, and then you'll be a more functional people, be so that you will not be having problems with other people. Right? So that's why Bible is so important. First of all, you know the Bible actually is the one that gives you salvation, help you to be born again. Peter said, you've been born again, not a perishable seed, but an imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. So God's Word is a living and enduring and continuous functioning. And if today you don't read God's Word, if any day you don't read God's Word, then you are cutting off that power to help you. And those of you become a Christian, it's because when you hear God's word, it touches you and changes your life. That is very important. And then on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, even more important. Let us all read this verse together, shall we? Please. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart. Wow. Bible is so powerful because God inspired it. God breathed into it so it can cut into your heart and mind and soul. Sometimes you may not like to listen to preaching. You may not like to have somebody tell you what to do. But when you do read it yourself, you'll find that there are something that God is changing you, speaking to you, and there's something that you want to be corrected because it is the Word of God. That's this kind of a power in life. You know that most of the people, those great people in the history, Christian history, they are changed by the Bible. Martin Luther, He was a monk. He thought that he could. He was so good a guy. He was so wonderful. He worked so hard, disciplined himself, and meditate, and then he thought that he could help the world. But he found that he couldn't. He found that he had no joy of salvation. And until one day, when he heard God's word, and he studied God's word in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where it tells him the gospel is the power of God, first to the Jews and to the Greek, and change our lives. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. Power can touch you. Then his life was changed. And then he became such a great, powerful man in history that changed the entire Catholic Church and tell them that they were wrong and they have to become a church that would pay attention to the Word of God rather than creating some rules and laws for people to do. The church is not the answer, Luther said. The Bible is the answer today. So today when you come, don't rely on the church or any leadership in the church. You're relying on the Word of God as a principle to guide your life. Jonathan Edwards, the one that led America into revival, the first president of Princeton University, his life was changed by the Word of God when he read 1 Timothy 1:17. Augustine, many, many, many lives. Have your life been changed by God's words? Even Buddhist, Hávamád. Fatal for Hávamád, this famous Buddhist years ago. Oh, he became a Christian because of the Word of God. When he read, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burden, come to me, and I will give you rest." He said, wow. That's better than my own self-meditation. Better than my trying to be good. Jesus, give me rest. He submitted to that. Then he became a Christian. So the Bible is sufficient for eternal life as well for our daily life. Then we see that the Bible is sufficient for wisdom. Because in the same verse in 19:7, the Psalmist said, "The statutes of the law are trustworthy, making wise the simple." You need wisdom in life. You know how to want to deal with some situation in your family, some relationship. You need to come to God because the Word of God is reliable and trustworthy. You can depend on it. The worldly wisdom may lead you to other problems and very complicated things. But God's word can simply solve your problem and give you wisdom. Because the Bible said, Solomon himself said, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." This is God's word. That's why you can come to God and God will help you because God's word is complete, comprehensive, and it is sure, it's dependable and reliable and will guide your life. And I'm not a smart person myself, certainly. My son's smarter than I, and my wife's smarter than I, and I got my doctorate degree after, as I told you, 20 years of study. Then I got it, And after many hard work and tough. But then many brothers and sisters and friends and told me, "Pastor, you're wise. You're wise. Yeah, you know what to do. You know how to handle the situation. You know how to bring the kids up and you know how to do things like that." I said, "Oh, certainly it's not from me. I sometimes don't know what I'm doing many times. But it is the Word of God that helps me and guide me, So as you keep on every day, do read your Word of God. And the wisdom of God guess what? Will come upon you as you just practice the word of God. God's thought, God's way of dealing things will come to your life gradually, and you will become a wise person. And you know that there are some great people today can testify to you in Christian life that when they were young, when they went to school, they couldn't even pass the second grade or third grade, one of them. Bill Gothard, and then when he had to stay in the class or for that grade, the teacher and the parent comfort him. He said, "Hey, Bill, why don't you just stay in the same class? Then since you already been here, you can be a leader in the class." To comfort him. Oh, poor guy. But guess what? When he went to high school, he know the importance of study God's word and memorizing God's word. He begin to memorize God's word. And God's word helped him to have wisdom. He became a student. So he got into, finally, in graduate school. So, brothers and sisters, God's word is powerful and sufficient for wisdom. And then it is also sufficient for joy. Notice, the word of God said, the precept of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is Jesus' plan. He didn't plan to save you, give you heart problem. He wants to fill you with joy. He knows that sometimes there are things that would bother you in your life. But he says, do not be anxious about anything. In everything, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when you have peace, then you will have joy, right? Many people have a lot of excitement, happiness, joy and things. But the peace still not there. Then very soon you get depressed again. You want to see a great movie. Wow, some new movie coming up from Angelina, movie star. Some great movie by Tom Cruise and Cameron, what's her name? Diaz or something. Wow, this is a great fun thing. But guess what? After you finish the movie, you come out. Same thing, depressed again. So it doesn't give you real joy, you see. But when you read God's word and when you study God's word will give you the joy that bring peace in your life. Now we'll continue to see. The Bible is also sufficient for hope. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Giving light to your eyes so that you can see hope in the future. So then you can see there are way out of your life. Some of us are being bound by some habitual thing. Some of us being bound by some terrible things in life. We couldn't get out of it. That's why we are angry sometimes. That's why sometimes we cannot get along with people. Sometimes we just don't like things happening because we see darkness in ourselves, being bound, angry. But God's word can give you radiant light. As you look into it, even though when you are in difficulties, when you are suffering, when you have all the problems in the world, but yet God will help you and see a way out and see why it happened and direct your life so that you will build up a better character and you will have hope in God, and this hope will be continually fill your life because the Holy Spirit will guide you. That's the power of the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, if you just listen to other people to tell you, just read books and all the great books in the world will not give you hope. Only the Bible will give you true hope in life because it gives you deliverance. It opens you to see something that God instructs you to do in your life. And that's why you want to read the Bible every day. Today, if you are stuck in a situation where you think you cannot get out of, go to the Word of God. And find the Word of God to read, especially in Psalm of Proverbs. And let this Word of God teach you what to do and how to survive. And then also, the Bible is sufficient for our sanctification. Psalm 19:9, first part said, "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." What does that mean? The fear of the Lord is pure, meaning God's word can purify you. As you clearly study it, as you pay attention and obey it, God's word, not only it is pure itself, but it will purify you so that you will continue on to live for Him. Because Jesus said this, this is Jesus' word in John 17:17. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And so God will help you to grow in Him. You must grow as a Christian. And if you're not growing, simply because you haven't been reading God's word every day. And let God's word change your heart. Let God's word set you free. Let God's word comfort you. Let God's word guide you, and you see how God is going to bless you in everything. So you need to follow God's word. And finally, God's word is sufficient for truth. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Sure, meaning is truthful, and that it is also righteous. What is true? It has to be right. If the thing is not right, it's not true. If the fact that don't get right, that's not true. If the fact that it's right, that is eternal truth in God's way. In God's way, God's word, it is sufficient for truth because prophecy never had its origin and will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Meaning that Bible come to you from the Holy Spirit's touch on the person. The person who wrote the Word of God at that time, like Apostle Paul, he was touched by God and carried along by the Holy Spirit, have the idea in Greek, like a big wind, storm, hurricane, great force of wind blow upon this person. And this person have no control by itself, like a sailboat, have to put down all the sail and just let the wind blow. And that's what it is. When a person is touched, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, touched by God's word, and he had no choice but write it out, God's word in truth to help us. And this is the power of God's word. That's why the prophecy of the Bible can be fulfilled. You see, the prophecy about Jesus has been fulfilled because it's true, God's word. And that's why Bible has tremendous influence throughout the world, through all the life, and now it's been translated to 2,000 languages. Any other book have that? Translate 2,000 languages. And by 2020, it is predicted that all language, tribal language, even in New Guinea, in Philippines, or Africa, everywhere in China, they will have a language. They will have a Bible, maybe a portion of the New Testament in their life. So, brothers and sisters, you know that the Word of God is important because it is true and it is inspired by God's Word and it is always true. and it will have no errors. You can trust in it. This is the real truth. So you follow it, you will not be wrong. Now, therefore, we can come to a conclusion. The Bible is inerrant and infallible. We should never deviate from it. What does that mean, inerrant? That means no mistake at all. If people say that I'm so scholar, I'm scientist, I'm archaeologist, I know there are some errors in the Bible, doesn't prove that he is right. It's only proof that he hasn't studied enough. Historically, since the 19th century, a lot of people try to prove the Bible is wrong, but end up that they are wrong. The archaeology discovery, more and more to prove the Bible is right. Before 1950 or some of those days, everybody said the Old Testament is not reliable. Probably it is constructed by some Christian Jews way after Jesus' life. Oh, maybe 200-300 AD or the Catholic Church created this thing. It's not true until they discover the Dead Sea Scroll. Oh, the Dead Sea Scroll, by dating, by scientific method, prove that the Bible is already complete by 200 BC, Old Testament part. See? It is all true. And all those historical happenings, like Jonah, how did he change the nation of Assyria? People say, oh, it's a joke. Jonah went to the whale, got swallowed by big fish, no such thing, and so forth. Guess what? When they study archaeology, they study in that period of time, there was a king of Assyria at that time. Indeed, the nation was changed at that time. It was monotheistic. It was a moral nation. The nation was good. Until later on, it changed again back, and God judged them. So the Bible, it's always true. And that we need to follow it and trust it. Now here, I don't know if you can see some pictures here, maybe a little dark for you, but here it is to show you recently, most recently, how Chinese, a group of Cantonese, in fact, mountain climber, and they used to work with the Chinese movie. We have seen some of those Christian movie. This team, this evangelical team, they were able to discover Noah's Ark. Wow! Some of the scholars say, no way, no such thing, there's no Noah's Ark. How could be an ark way up there for thousands of years in the mountain of Ararat? There's no such thing. But guess what? These Chinese team, they work hard on it after years and years, and finally they were able to into the Noah's Ark in the mountain of Ararat about 4,000 meters. That means it's about 12,000 feet and up and there. And they were able to discover that deep down in this ice hole and about 6 feet down, and they saw a lot of big, great, big beams. And then a lot of this study here. See, they went up to this this ice area, and then this one is too dark. Maybe now this one, you went into it. Now, if some of you want to see more of this picture, you can go into website. Just Noah's Ark search, Noah's Ark search, and you'll find some of this picture. All right. This kind of dark, but you can still see some of the wood there, old wood. And then, it's also dark, sorry. Okay, actually, you can see one of the team leaders here, but all the rest back there are wood. Very wood structure. I'm sorry, cannot see too well when we copy them. Now, this is how they went up the mountain. and to see it. Okay? And so perhaps you can go home and study this. Now, there were people that questioned this. Someday, oh, may not be true. Maybe the Turkey people try to construct something to fool people. It's impossible because this wood has been dating. They dated it with carbon dating. It's at least 4,000 or more years old. And very well, BC old. So this is a really great structure. They study those wood. There's no nail and so forth, because at that time there's no those iron stuff yet in Noah's time. And he used a very special method to build this giant ark. And I'm sure you will come to see it someday. And so why do I bring this up? Is to tell you that God's word is true. After thousands of years, people question about these things about Noah, about ark. The ark is up in Ararat, 12,000 feet high, buried in the ice. It's been broken. They know that there's big beam of wood that's been outbroken. So you can see that the Bible is true. And that the Bible is trustworthy. The Bible is not false. And now then, what should we do? Notice Apostle Paul said, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to what did he say? To the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul committed the people that he pastored to the grace, the word of grace. God's word. Now, this probably next month will be, you know, my final week in our church, as I probably be going to China. But I want to seriously ask our brother and sister to never deviate from the principle that the Bible is inerrant and infallible. If you change from that, I tell you what, you'll be like the Presbyterian today, like the Methodist, like the Episcopal, like many other churches. You're going down. Today is the only major denomination, large church, that are still growing is Southern Baptist, us. But if you change that, you're going to say, oh, Bible something, you know, when it says about homosexual, those things, you can misinterpret, say any other way you say. When you do that, you'll be like all these other churches. Whether you're Chinese or American or what, you're going to go down. The only way the church will grow and love God and win people to Christ is because you believe the Bible is inerrant and infallible, just like Billy Graham did. There was a time in his life he was questioning. All these scholars may be saying, Bible may not be true. But one night, he studied, carefully researched, he does, and he said, Lord, I commit my life. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Not just contain God's Word, but is the Word of God. I believe it, Lord. From that day on, he became a powerful evangelist, and today is still the greatest evangelist, and influenced thousands of people, and all the presidents, even Obama, went to visit him personally. Say, brothers and sisters, if you want to be influential church, you must stay in the inerrancy and infallibility of the Word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you will guide and direct our church to be the kind of church that you well please, because we trust in your word. Because without the word of God, we will have no life. Father, help us not to take this issue so lightly. Help us that we will be serious in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now will you join with me in singing a hymn of invitation? Number 329, Trust and Obey. 329, Trust and Obey. Shall we all stand together and sing, please? 329首, 当我与主同行, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, but to all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Today, if any one of you say, I trust in the Word of God, I trust in Jesus, that means you trust in what He says in the Bible. You know that you need Jesus. You haven't been baptized yet. You want to follow Him. We invite you to come as we sing the last stanza. All right? Then in fellowship sweet, we are fine.
Enjoy singing, right? We enjoy so much. It's God's word.